fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk today about the Feast of the Visitation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We're celebrating today in the Catholic Church, and others the celebration of this feast, which really shows us, talks to us about Mary going to visit her cousin Elizabeth and the beautiful Mary song that she proclaims of what God has done for her. And it's a great model for us because if you had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been looking at the outpouring of the gift of the Holy Spirit and the preaching of the apostles that followed that outpouring of the Spirit, especially the core message of the gospel upon which the whole church is built, the kerygma, the declaration of the facts of salvation. And it was through that proclamation of what God has done for us, that's the starting point of the life of the church. Of course, the church is born on the day of Pentecost, which we'll celebrate this coming weekend. That is, the Jesus exalted at the right hand of the Father is given the Holy Spirit, St. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2. The Father gives over to his faithful Son, the obedient Son, who returns to the Father victorious over all the enemies that had enslaved us. He gave to God what belongs to God. He's the second Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus becomes the victor. And he gives to God what human beings were made to give to God, which is that radical trust and abandonment, no matter what the cost, in relationship with God the Father, in obeying him and living him. That's what Jesus did. As a result, he wins victory over the devil who sought to destroy Christ's power. He's raised in submitting himself to the Father, surrendering and showing you and me, that's the way to ultimate victory in human life. The way to complete fulfillment and complete success and to eternal happiness is to be radically obedient to God. I mean, it turns the world on its head because hardly anybody likes the word obedience because it stands in the way of my radical autonomy. Instead of radical obedience, we want radical autonomy. No one telling me who I am, what I'm supposed to be or not be. I'm the master of my own destiny. Jesus shows us the reverse. That human happiness, human fulfillment, comes in understanding who we are before God. Who is God and who am I? St. Francis would often reflect on. And finding in our surrender to God as Father, being obedient sons and daughters of God, no matter what the cost, this is the way, this is the only way to eternal happiness forever. Absolute, complete human fulfillment. So the apostles rejoiced in it. What we see today in the story of Mary going to visit Elizabeth is Mary rejoicing in what God has done for her. And this is kind of the theme this week to say all the good stuff, all the great stuff, all the stuff that's worth really celebrating in this life begins with God's action. He's creating us, making us in his image and likeness, bringing about our salvation, revealing to us his plan, pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us, making us temples of the Holy Spirit, giving us power to become children of God, establishing his church, making us a living communion of brothers and sisters, and being fed at the table of the Lord, who are baptized into Christ, have an opportunity to have our sins forgiven, are sent on mission. All of that, it's God's mercy and power. So here's the story. This is taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 39 and following. It said, at that same time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we are, and this is why the church situates this reading between the Feast of the Ascension and the celebration of Pentecost. It's coming up. That the whole work of salvation is guided and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Mary herself, when the angel Gabriel came to her, Gabriel said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The power of the Spirit came upon Mary. Jesus was conceived in her womb by virtue of an action of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now Mary, going to Elizabeth didn't know the full condition Mary was in, right? And as she's there, the first thing that happens is the baby in her womb, who is John the Baptist, the child who's to become St. John the Baptist, leaps in her womb. And it says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Not just an emotion, not just excitement, but literally the Holy Spirit communicating to her spirit and to her child in the womb who Jesus is. Verse 42, in a loud voice she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So immediately, when we recognize what God has done for us, and in some ways, that's the theme or my motive this week in talking about the facts of salvation, what Christ has done for us. Because so much, friends, of our thought life, our preoccupation, is what with the things that discourage us or cause us fear, anxiety, cause us to lose hope and even despair. We can be overwhelmed by life's challenges, as the anxiety that seems to dominate the world. And we feel like there's nothing for us to hope in. There's no real joy. There's nothing for us to rejoice in. And here we see what happens when the human heart begins to open up to God's action and his movement. And we begin to see and to taste and experience the unfolding reality of God's purpose and plan, which you are called to be a part of. It's not just a generic plan. It's not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's not to the faceless masses in history that it's meant to go to. It comes to each and every one of us personally. God has done great things for you. Mary can say clearly, the Lord has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Elizabeth can rejoice as the revelation of the Holy Spirit gives her understanding that the baby in Mary's womb is the Lord. And she begins to rejoice at God's action, how amazing God is, and how his plan is unfolding. His plan is unfolding in your life if you've opened yourself to him. If you haven't, he's pursuing you. And it doesn't matter the condition of your life, what you've done, where you've been. He comes to you personally to reveal himself to you, to offer his hand to you. And he reaches out to you today. He says, I've come not to condemn you. I've come to save you, to rescue you, to lead you to the ultimate fulfillment of your deepest longing. So give to me your sins. Acknowledge your sin. I've come to take them away, not to condemn you for them, but to take them from you and to nail them to the cross where I laid down my life for you and shed my blood for you. I want to take away all your sin. I want to take away all your shame. In exchange, I want to give you something. I want to give you my life, the life that raised me from the dead, the life that's in me, because I've come to make all things new, to bring about a new creation, and I want you to share in it so your heart can sing and be filled with joy and hope beyond compare. And so here's Elizabeth rejoicing, and the reading goes on in verse 44. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ear, she said, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So Elizabeth is saying this to Mary. Mary, blessed are you, happy are you, because you believed God. You believed the impossible. What's that? That without having any relations with man, you were going to have a child. But the child was conceived in you by the power of the Spirit. And this child would become the Savior of the world. And blessed are you that you believed and you welcomed God's plan and purpose. Today, as we celebrate this feast, my question, have you received God's promise? Have you welcomed his word? Have you welcomed Christ into your heart and the eternal plan that he has for you? He wants to offer you his kingdom. He wants to give you power to become a son or a daughter of God. The next series of verses, of course, is Mary's Magnificat, Mary's song. And it goes like this, starting in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly and the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Here's Mary's cry in the joy of her heart. The Holy Spirit that overshadowed her helps her to see and understand the amazing act of God's mercy and power that's unfolding in her. She's laughing. She's rejoicing. She's saying, God chose the weak and the humble. Here she is. She has no power or influence in the world. She's just a young girl in a backwater from a backwater town. No political power, no financial power, nothing. When God comes to save the world, where does he go? To kings and princes and religious leaders? No, he goes to the poor, to the simple, the weak, and his power is revealed in the heart, in the life, in the soul of Mary, this simple, humble child. You see, God doesn't need politicians. He doesn't need armies. He doesn't need Wall Street. He doesn't need Hollywood to polish a narrative, to convince everybody about him. He doesn't need us. He comes to us because he loves us. He comes to reveal his kingdom. And Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. You too can cry out from the depths of your heart. If you've received Jesus into your life and been baptized into him, you've been given a share of the kingdom. You've been given a relationship with the King, and your destiny in Christ is sure. And you have much to rejoice in. Just as Mary rejoices, so you too can rejoice, because the Almighty has done great things for you, and holy is his name. Don't let the devil steal that from you. That's what he loves to do. He wants you to feel that somehow this isn't for you because of what you've done, because of who you are, because of the family you were born in, whatever. He circles you. He tries to find, by lying and deceiving, he tries to find the place where he can convince you that you're cut out from the family, that you don't have a place, and that this good news is not for you. It's a lie. Today, let Mary be your inspiration, and like her, cry out, stand tall, and say, the Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.